Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's a privilege for us to be here and worship with you this morning. And renew acquaintances and learn to know strangers. But it's a privilege to be able to meet with people who are serving the Lord in different areas than our own home area. And it's a wonderful thing that there's something that binds us all together across the globe, no matter where we are. Maybe before the message, just like to express my thank you to you all who are sacrificing Brother Virgil and his family for our sakes. As we're up here for a couple of months, we appreciate the sacrifice that others are doing for us and are humbled by that. The message this morning is born somewhat out of, I guess, born out of my own journey, maybe somewhat brought on by the circumstances, but of being away from home, but born out of my own journey. So if you can listen in this morning, hopefully we can all glean something together. I don't believe it's a new subject, but we as humans need to be reminded over and over and over of many of the same things. Because somehow, as we experience life, we tend to forget, and we tend to get our focus on other things. But most of us have had the opportunity to travel in life at some point. Maybe it was to a cabin with an extended family, or a trip to another state or country. What you pack depends on what you feel is necessary to get you through that experience, because you are taking your home away from home. Some items you need to decide whether or not the convenience outweighs the bother of transporting them. We don't generally take a sofa is a very comfortable place to spend to relax, but we don't generally take that on a tending trip. As much as we might enjoy relaxing on a sofa, the bother outweighs the convenience. Other items such as food and clothing are considered a basic necessity. While away, you enjoy your time, but it still isn't home. You aren't out looking to put your roots down or build your business or spend three days decorating your cabin or your tent. Home is somewhere else, and that's where most of your energies are focused. Hebrews 11 tells us about some people who are traveling strangers and pilgrims. I'd like to invite you to Hebrews 11. These people were away from home. In fact, home was a concept they never really experienced during their lifetime, but they knew they were going there. I'd like to look at this passage this morning, Hebrews 11, and ask each one to consider the question, am I at home or am I living in a home away from home? The title this morning is Home Away from Home. I'm going to read Hebrews 11, verses 13 through 16. There were a number of people mentioned previous to this: Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I'd like to draw some thoughts from these verses this morning. First of all, in verse 13, death is a reality. Death is reality. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. These all died in faith. And death is as much a reality as life. All flesh is as grass. The grass fades. The flowers wither. And human flesh is the same. We may last longer than that rose or that tulip, but it's not much longer. If we could stretch a string from this wall to that wall, somehow to represent eternity, but really that string needs to keep on going. And we would just hang a paper clip or something on that string, and that's time. How does that compare to eternity? Our earthly home is temporary. And it's just we're here for that little speck of time on the timeline of eternity. Death is a reality. We tend to look at that whole string as our lifespan, and then that's kind of, yes, we know there's this vague concept out there that's eternity. In our human minds, that's our tendency. But death is a reality. These all died in faith. Second point, earth life does not hold the promises. Not having received the promises, what are the promises? In the case of these, in the case of Abraham, it was the land of Canaan. God told him, you and your seed are going to possess it. But the promises include more than the land of Canaan. The promises included the promises to Adam and Eve, Abel, Noah, by faith, Enoch. The promises were beyond this earth life. Perfection and holiness, unstained bliss, and complete fulfillment are still afar off. They're afar off. They're not here. We're constantly bombarded here on earth with offers of bliss, offers of contentment. If you do this house improvement, then you'll be satisfied. If you, if only you could spend more time vacationing, that would be great. That's just what we're looking for. If I just had that high dollar hunting gear, that would satisfy. Constantly bombarded with us wherever we turn. And the advertising world is very high on that. Retirement. When I get to retire, now that's going to be, then I'm going to have it made. A big bank account. A new vehicle. Whatever. Put in there whatever attracts you. The world is constantly bombarding you with offers of promises, the promise, but it's not the promise. Now granted, we have to use the things of this world. 1 Corinthians 7, there's a few verses that stood out to me. It's in the context of marriage, but I believe it also applies here. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 29 to 31, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away." The time is short. And the phrase that stands out to me, "they that use this world as not abusing it." And I looked up the word abusing. What does this mean? It carries the idea of overusing. So we need to use this world. We need to use the goods of this world, but not abuse them, not overuse them. There's a limit. But earth life does not hold the promises. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Point number three, true travelers or strangers and pilgrims, as the term is here, by faith keep their focus on the realities afar off. True travelers, by faith, keep their focus on the realities afar off. Home is not here. While we live here, and we call this home, the reality, the true home, is afar off yet. It's on the other side of death. And I believe as we keep our focus on that reality, as we keep our focus on eternity, it helps us avoid unnecessarily complicating our own lives. We tend to do that with the affluence that we have, the ready cash, the affluence. We can tend to do that by, for example, paying extra dollars for a convenience or an extra option on our vehicle just because it's nice, but we strap ourselves down more so that we have to work longer or we have to work harder. We have to keep our minds focused on that, making those payments, or saving up more so that we can do that, keep up that hobby to the extent we would like to, or whatever upgrade we want to do. And those things have their place, but somehow we tend to go through life complicating our own lives by going after those things, and it has a way of wrapping us in. But true travelers, by faith, keep our focus on realities afar off, and as we judge our decisions by the fact that I'm only here for this space, and I need to use these things to get through this life on earth. I need to use them, but I'm only here for a certain amount of time, and really, the real life is afterward. It helps to eliminate some of those complications. And another benefit of keeping our focus on the realities afar off is that our decisions are made with a goal in mind. We make decisions about what we're going to do with our time, decisions about what we're going to do with the resources God gave us, time, money, health, strength, relationships. As we make those decisions based on an eternal goal, we make decisions with a goal in mind, and we have a purpose in those decisions. Whereas if we wander through life, as we tend to do by default, we lose a lot of time because we're off here doing this thing. We're guided by our feelings, guided by default, guided by what seems right at the moment or what catches our eye at the moment. And if you try to run a race that way, forgetting what the goal is, you'll stop and look at this along the way and get distracted by that over there, and looking at the crowd cheering and looking at the whatever it is, it slows you down. But if you run that race with a goal in mind, you get there. And you get there faster and more efficiently. And as we keep our heavenly goal in mind, it's what helps us make our decisions with a purpose. And so we analyze the decisions we make. Should we take this vacation or shouldn't we? How does this compare to my eternal goal? Should I do that upkeep? Or should I do that remodeling? Or should I make do for a number more years? Or can I make do for the rest of my earth life? And we analyze it in the light of eternity. Does the benefit outweigh the bother to get us through this life? Or am I making my home here? Or we analyze that vehicle purchase. Does this better suit kingdom purposes? To spend more or to spend less? And that decision, sometimes more is the right decision. Sometimes less is the right decision. I'm not here to say which one is the right decision. each one of us has to make those choices and seek God. But as we analyze them in the light of the fact that we are traveling through this earth, and we need to use this vehicle as a tool while we're here, but it's going to go someday. It's going to wear out long before we're ready for it to. Likely wear out before we do. But the fact of the matter is, it's here for a time. Point number four, true travelers show plainly where their home is. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. What do they say? Verse 13, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And we get used to that, those two words put together, and I think sometimes we just say them and don't really think about what that really means, at least in my case. But strangers and pilgrims, we don't belong here. We're foreigners here. We need to be here because we're traveling through. But we are not citizens here. And they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. How do they declare it? Not only by speech, but by action. And we touched on that quite a bit in the Sunday school lesson this morning. Appreciate that. It's our actions that finally prove where we stand. And true travelers show plainly where their home is. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." In this passage, it gives us the thought that we make a deliberate choice where we're going to put our treasure, and then our heart follows that. I believe it happens both ways. We'll see that in the next point. I believe it happens both ways. If our heart is somewhere, we put our treasure there. But there are times when we need to make a deliberate choice to put our treasure in a certain place. And then as we put more and more of our treasure there, our heart follows. And so as we go through life and we get distracted along the way, and we start focusing on the material things, or focusing on our own agenda here on this earth, and we follow that goal because we feel if we just could acquire and put whatever it is in your mind there, if we could just have that, that would just be really nice. And then that becomes our goal. And we get distracted. Or if we could just accomplish whatever it is, whatever's our agenda that we get distracted, if we could just accomplish that, and that would just really be satisfying. But if it's things of earthly value, it's a distraction. But if we go through life and keep our vision on that eternal goal, and the fact that life is so short, and beyond this life is the real life, and we deliberately make choices each day to put deposits into home, to make that down payment on our home, our eternal home. We'll be finding opportunities throughout each day to encourage somebody in the right direction, ways to give financially, ways to give of our time, ways to give of our energies, and to put deposits into our home. Where your treasure is then is where your heart's going to be. And then it'll work both ways there as well. But these heroes of faith declared plainly where their home was. Many times I believe we send mixed signals where our home is, because we are getting distracted. And I believe it's something that we have to constantly fight against, that current of distractions. The current that would veer us off in another direction after something that is not eternal. But true travelers declare plainly that they seek a country. And Jesus said, lay up treasures where moth and rust does not corrupt, where thieves don't break through and steal. And I know this is a very small example, but I had a piece of plastic that I like to use for, could cover things, could lay coffee out to dry on it. I didn't want holes in it. And so when somebody would come and want to borrow a tarp or a piece of plastic, I thought, well, I'm just going to save that one. I'll give the other, because if you thresh out beans on it, it's going to put holes in it, and then I'll be losing coffee down through those holes into the ground. And so I'll just save that one and just use that when I need it and keep a good piece of plastic. Well, I went one day to pull it out, and what do you know? It had holes in it. The mice had gotten into it. Now, this wasn't really a big treasure, but it was something that just one small item that I thought, I'm just going to save for myself and use it when I need it. They use breakthrough and steal. Moth and rust corrupts. As much as you buy a brand new vehicle, and it really isn't that long until there's a scratch on it. And then it isn't really that long until that scratch starts rusting. And there it goes. Whatever it is, you build a new house and you become convinced that on this side of eternity there's no perfect house, because there's a few other things you would change, or that something went wrong or broke down. And things just happen like that. No matter where, if we try to put our treasure, and the world puts a lot of emphasis on securing your treasures here. Invest your money here. It's a safe place. And it may appear safe because the last 50 years, we've lived in a, well, more than 50 years, we've lived in a stable, relatively stable country. But it's not safe. The material things of life are not safe. But where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so it brings us back to the question, where are we putting our treasure? Is it in a safe place? Is it going to be worth the investment? Point number five, the flip side of point number four, but our actions follow our hearts, or our actions follow our longings. So we just said, and reading from Matthew, that where we make the choice to put our treasure, our heart will follow that. I believe the reverse is also true, that if we yearn for this world, we are in danger of making this country our home. These men died in faith, not having received the promises. They declared plainly that they were seeking a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. If they would have focused on that country they came out of, there was plenty of opportunity to go back there. Abraham could have said, back in Ur, I had plenty. I had my property. I was a respected man. And here I am wandering around this country that God says he's going to give to me. He had to buy a plot of land to bury his wife. And he could have said, why don't I just go back where I had my house? It was permanent. It was a place to live. He could have gone back. He had plenty of opportunity. Noah could have returned and given up the ark building idea. And each of these, they might have had opportunity to have returned. And I believe if we yearn for this world, there's plenty of opportunity. If our hearts, if we're in the church, but our hearts are out there, eventually we're going to follow our hearts. And if we're trying to serve the Lord, but our hearts are on material things and on building our own agenda during this earth life, our actions are going to begin to follow that, where our heart is. But if our hearts are on heaven and our real home, and we keep our minds focused that there is life beyond this life, and we keep that very present in our minds, it's hard to do that because we experience, with our five senses, we're constantly experiencing the physical life on earth. But as in our minds, we keep our hearts focused on heaven and on the fact that sooner or later we're going to move out of this world and we're going to stay there forever, then I believe our actions follow that. And the last point, the choice is ours. Verse 15 and 16, they would have had the opportunity to have returned. And verse 16, but now they desire a better country that isn't heavenly. They had these two options. They could go back or they could go forward. The Israelites had those options. And they said, we remember the leeks and the garlics and all the good things. And when we sat by the flesh pots, we remember those good things we had in Egypt. And for a moment they forgot where they were going. They forgot what the goal was. And they began to look around at the earthly things. And they suffered for that. But it was their choice. And it's our choice. We can choose to chase after these things. And we can choose to make this home our home. And we can choose to build our lives and center our lives around what we want to do on earth while we're here on earth. And I believe we go through stages in life, and I don't think I've passed through near all of them yet, but young people, the younger you are, the longer life looks. The more things there are you can get done, the more things you can do. And you have dreams. And many times we wonder, what does God have in store for me? But remember, life is short. And I know you hear this often. You hear it so often, you tend not to give it much thought. But life is short. And even at my age, yes, life looks shorter than it used to, but there looks seems to be quite a bit out on ahead yet. But we have no promise of that. But then as we go through life, we think of more and more things we could get done or that we could try to do while we're here on earth. And we can get so focused on that, and we can go after that. Then I believe and I cannot speak this from experience, but as you get older, you begin to realize more and more that there's some things that, well, I'm not going to get it done. That's just going to have to, that's something I would have liked to do while I was on earth, but it's not going to happen because I don't have the energies, I don't have the time left. And I believe then eternity becomes even more a reality. But I believe every one of us has to make that choice daily. As we go through life, we need to remember that we are passing through. This world is not our home. And then we need to make our decisions based on that. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We make those business decisions. Men, we make those business decisions based on that. Do I expand the business or don't I? Very valid question. And I believe sometimes God says yes and sometimes God says no. But we need to evaluate it on the basis, does this help kingdom interests? Does this make me more useful in making deposits on my future home? Or will this be a distraction? And I believe on the sister's side, the things that you go after at home, your agenda in the home, as you evaluate that, and as you help your husband make decisions, you can either drag yourself down and make more deposits on earth life and your home here on earth, or you can say, I want to do what God wants us to do. I want to make deposits for my future home. I'm traveling through. And the things I'm doing here, the things that I'm trying to get done each day, will they help? Is it a deposit for the future, or is it a distraction for today? But it's our choice. The choice is ours. And so, what is home to you? That's the question. What is home? Where is home? What guides your decisions each day? Does your life declare plainly that you seek an eternal city? Or have you settled in here for the long haul? What if 2015 is your last year on earth? What would God say about your life in 2050? We don't know how long we have. But finally, what will be the most important thing to you about your life's journey 1,000 years from now? What will be the most important thing to you and to me 1,000 years from now about what you did while here on this earth? May God bless each one. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you this morning. We thank you that we can call you our God. We thank you for blessing us with so many blessings, for blessing us with salvation, for sending your Son Jesus to die for us. And thank you for the strength you give us each day, the grace to go through the difficult times of life, and also the grace to relate to the blessings of life and the distractions that face us. And Lord, thank you for the material blessings that you've given to us. But Lord, we pray that you would help us to not allow them to tie our hearts down to this earth. Lord, help us to live in the light of eternity. Bless each one here in this congregation in their daily walk with you, in their work in the communities they're a part of. Bless the leaders here with wisdom to direct. And Lord, we just thank you for faithful people around the world. And we pray for your church that you would strengthen it in these deceptive days, days of so many people drawing away from you. Lord, help us to be an encouragement to each other and to keep reminding each other of the realities of eternal life. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.